Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 108, recorded on November 9th, 2010. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show where we discuss all things iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, iTunes, App Store, iOS, all that fun stuff. And with me, as always, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing? Hopefully the duct tape didn't leave too bad a mark.
Yeah, not it didn't hurt too bad. We used some, what do you use to remove that?
Oh, goof off or something.
Right, yeah, goof off. I use some goof off. We'll just say I use some goof off for the...
Do you know what I'm talking about? That's that like chemical stuff for getting all the icky stickies off. WD-40 yeah. Works good too.
Yeah, we sprayed some WD-40 in there. Thanks again for hosting the show the last 2 weeks. It helped out a lot.
You're welcome.
And Jeff Gamet is also here, managing editor of the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael, and I'm hoping that the tape didn't give you too much of a rash.
Yeah, just a little bit, but it's good.
You know, you were a real trooper. I mean, you spent
Was I locked in a closet or something?
Yeah, we kept you in the closet, yeah.
Was there anything else you were doing to me that I wasn't aware of because I didn't listen to the show?
Nope, and don't go listen to the show.
So. Okay, good. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you don't want to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fine. Don't worry. It went well.
I trust you guys. That's why I let you guys do it.
Great.
You wouldn't do anything claim that I, you know, like stupid, girly cat toys.
Nope. Everybody liked your picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to if I had listened to the show. Yeah. All right, so diving right into it, I'm surprised you guys didn't cover this, and maybe you didn't cover it because you knew that I would want to talk all about it, but the white iPhone issues. You know, I've been waiting on a white iPhone 4 basically since the iPhone 4 was announced, and they said, hey, you know, there's going to be a white iPhone. So Apple, what was it, a couple weeks ago, October 26th, I believe, put out a press release saying the white iPhone 4 won't be available until spring of next year. Which at that point I immediately said, all right, screw it. I'm going to get a black iPhone 4. So I have an iPhone 4 now.
Yay.
Yeah, for sure. Yay. I'm way happy with it. It's super fast. I love the FaceTime stuff. The screen's amazing, but this is all stuff that you guys know about already. So then after that, there was a follow-up discussion regarding the white iPhone 4, saying that I believe Cult of Mac was reporting that the reason the white iPhone 4 is taking so long to be produced is that there are some problems with how the camera and the light from the glass. The light from the glass actually is... I don't know, seeping through because it's white. It's white glass instead of the black glass. And so it's affecting the photos that are taken with the white iPhone 4. They say that it's affected both by just the backlight as well as the flash seeping through when the flash is engaged. And I actually did some research after I saw this. I did, you know, research, I say, but it's really, I just surfed through some like Mac Rumors forums. But you know, a lot of people have already put together their own custom white iPhone 4s. I think you guys saw some of those at, what was it? The Mac something, something expo or
the Mac. Yeah. Mac Computer Expo, MCE. Shannon Jean from Tech Restore, had actual, the parts. I mean, they will convert your black iPhone into a white iPhone.
Which is very intriguing for me, and I'm still considering doing it.
Right.
But so these people in the MacRumors forums are saying, you know, they're not really seeing any difference in the photos they take with their white they're converted white iPhone 4s versus when they had the black back on there. Now, the one big thing that everybody points to with these faceplates that are coming out, and we're not really sure where they're coming from or from what design they're coming from, but the diffuser ring, there's a thing on the back right around the flash. They call it the diffuser ring. And I suppose that just diffuses the flash a little bit in a specific way. And they say that you can tell that it's not an OEM white iPhone 4 because it doesn't have the diffuser ring.
Right.
But people with the converted white iPhone 4 say there's no problem.
Yeah. Well, they don't. I talked to Shannon, you know, about this because, you know, just because everybody's wondering, where's the white iPhone? Are we ever going to see it? And, you know, I think you had asked me about it, and I went to him to try and get some more details because I know a lot of people are really, you know, wondering about the conversions, and we see a lot of supposedly quote-unquote white iPhone in the wild pictures, right? Well, I have not. There is no such thing. Put it this way. He said there is no such thing as an OEM white iPhone because Apple's not making the parts for them. So it's not like you can go get parts from Apple. So the parts are coming from different suppliers. They're not Apple parts.
So these suppliers that are, they had some designs from Apple to make prototype ones, you think?
I don't know. Maybe they're rejects or something like that. I have no idea.
No, there are companies that are
yeah, they're just knockoffs, I would assume. Yeah, exactly. That's my assumption.
But you guys have seen them in person.
Shannon didn't say that, just for clarification. Yeah. But my assumption is they're just knockoffs.
But do you think they look like knockoffs when you see? I mean, back would be.
No, absolutely not. Nice. I mean, they've got the Apple logo. They've got all the proper, you know, stamps on the back and stuff like that. And you can have them installed. And some interesting things he said with the back plate. The diffuser ring is actually part of the black case. And so when you're seeing people just put the new backs on, he said, you know, in essence, and these instructions are even on the Tech Restore site, if you order the part for them, the back plate is, you know, $60 from them. And it says it's the LED flash diffuser ring. It's a small, clear plastic piece. So I think it actually goes over the LED to kind of spread the light out,
right,
but
yeah.
It's part of the back case, and so you actually have to take it off. They recommend using an X-Acto knife, so I think you actually have to cut the one off of your black back and then put it on with super glue over the white one. And the way you can tell when you see pictures of somebody who has a white back, if you look and there's not a little ring or clear plastic thing, if there's just a hole where the flash goes, you know, where you can just kind of see down into it and it's not flush or doesn't look like it has plastic over it, that means they didn't move the diffuser ring.
Right, yeah. So,
you know, the whole idea of having to go in with an X-Acto knife and pop that piece out, that's just kind of scary. I mean, that's like saying, okay, here's your home appendectomy kit.
And that's the easy hack because it's only two screws to get the back off, and then you can put the new one on. And so that's the, you know, cutting that off, that's simple. For the faceplate, you know, the front, and actually you need to watch out if you're going to go buy parts, you need to watch out about buying the fronts too, because he also mentioned that you really need an entire assembly, and a lot of places aren't selling all of the pieces that you need. There's actually three pieces. So it's an LCD, the digitizer, and the frame.
Yeah.
Right, because those are actually all glued together.
Yeah, the digitizer, and yeah, exactly. And so their site does mention that there are some quote-unquote rejects that are being sold on eBay, and maybe those are the things from some of the manufacturers Apple was playing around with, but they don't have all of the pieces, I guess.
That's interesting. You know, I maybe we can set something up where he lends me his and I check it out or something, because I'm still not convinced. And but you know, I'm still going to think about it.
Put it this way, the one, you know, Tech Restore has been doing Mac laptop repairs and iPhone repairs and stuff like that for a very long time. And these guys really know what they're doing. Shannon was also quoted on, you know, the comments about the new LCD screen for the MacBook Airs. So, I mean, they do disassemblies. They're kind of like iFixit in that regard, where they really get into the stuff and they know what's going on and they know what they're doing. And I mean, he basically said, you don't really want to mess with the front plate yourself.
Right. No,
so you got to pull the whole entire iPhone apart. They actually have a video on their site and I watched it. You know, they do these really cool time lapse.
Yeah, it's a sped up video of them disassembling it and putting the white one. It's just like part of it. Not only do you have to like unscrew things and pop little connectors off the board, but you actually have to remove pieces of tape and pop other things off. And I'm just, even though I'm comfortable with a screwdriver, I just would not do that.
Right.
You know, I would trust Tech Restore to crack open any of my Apple gear. And that's actually saying a lot.
Yeah. And I've seen friends who have actually done the switch themselves in posting their results on Tumblr. And with those, it was just like, yeah, look what I did. I totally converted it to a white iPhone, except for this one thing where it's bulging at the seams.
Right.
So
you didn't quite get it back together.
Old appendectomy kit.
Yep, exactly. Right.
Bad idea.
So, but I mean, Tech Restore will do overnight, and they do a really great job. So.
Yeah, so I think I would probably go with them. I know there are many other websites that sell these parts. I think White iPhone 4 Now is one of them. I'm, you know, seeing if they would give me some, like, a free set of the parts so I can, you know, talk about it. But, you know, even if I did get that, I'd be a little bit scared of doing it myself. But anyway, so supposedly it was, well, Apple announced officially that it was going to be delayed until spring of 2011, which is odd because, you know, right around the corner from quote unquote spring is about the time when Apple announces a new iPhone. And a lot of people were speculating that we wouldn't see, you know, it'd be very strange if for Apple to do that. And Boy Genius Report actually says that they heard from a previous source of theirs that Apple is already planning to simply axe the white iPhone 4 altogether. I believe they speculated that they may at, you know, sometime in the spring, they may say, okay, we're delaying it again, or, you know, we're waiting. I think they may just say that we're delaying it again until summer, and then they announce the white iPhone or the iPhone 5, and then say, "Oh, here's the white iPhone 5."
All right, so I'm going to call fakety fake, 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 fake on that one.
Yeah,
and with the caveat that if Apple does in spring say, "Ooh, yeah, we have to postpone it again," it's a legitimate postponement and not we're stringing people along.
Yeah,
because if word got out that they knew right now that they were going to cancel the white iPhone 4, I have a feeling that the SEC would be very interested in knowing what's going on, as would the U.S. Attorney's Office.
And the stockholders.
And the stockholders, because at that point it would look a lot like Apple was trying to manipulate their stock price to avoid having it drop because of the delay and cancellation.
You know, I don't even think it'd be beneficial for Apple to do such a thing. I think it would be more beneficial for them if they knew at this point that they weren't planning to release the white iPhone 4 to simply say, look, it's not coming. Anybody who's waiting out, just get the black one, you know?
Yeah. Hey, is it just me? And keep in mind, I've been on drugs for over a week. And okay, so is it just me? Or if it was any other company, would anyone care that the white model of the phone hadn't come out?
Probably not.
Yeah, it just feels to me like there's so much focus on Apple didn't release a white version of the iPhone 4 simply because it's Apple. I mean,
they're the white company, they always have the white product. Is that what you mean?
No, I think it's just because it's Apple. I think if Nokia had offered, you know, the NG65843P in white, blue, and black, and the blue model didn't come out, everyone would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no one would
but
care.
But since it's Apple, they're like, OMG, WTF, BBQ, there's no white one.
Are you making fun of me, Jeff, because I want a white iPhone?
No.
Okay. Good. That's the right answer.
I actually had to stop and think about that. But no, I'm not making fun of you for wanting a white iPhone. I'm just questioning why it's such a big deal for the media as a whole that Apple didn't release a phone in one specific color.
You know, I'm not sure if it's a big deal in the way that, you know, if Apple knew, they felt like they would have to string people along, or it would be such a letdown that people would react strongly. I think it's just that it's this recurring thing that there is a group of people who want a white iPhone 4, and it's kind of a bummer that it's just hasn't come out yet. And if they would just say at some point, look, the white iPhone 4 is not coming out, I think people like me and would just get the black one and say, well, that sucks, and then forget about it in 2 weeks.
All right. I'll accept that. But I still think there's a lot of people that are making this into a much bigger thing than it is.
Well, sure. A lot of people make Apple into a much bigger thing than it really is.
Yeah. Wait, it's not that big?
Yeah, let's kill this podcast. Let's get out of here. But
can I say one more thing about before we – I don't know. I'm assuming we're going to move on. But before we move on, I want to mention, because I kind of think I made it sound like Tech Restore will do the iPhone swap. I don't think that they do.
They just give you the parts.
They give you the parts, and they recommend that you do take it to a authorized Apple technician or center to have the swap done.
Will they do it for you if you pay them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
They do other repairs, iPhone repairs, but they do not do the, as far as I know, the white swap out.
Yeah.
At least I can't find any information about it on their site. And I didn't specifically ask. So
did they just have the parts there? They don't have the.
Yes.
I mean, if
they have
you
the parts and really detailed instructions about what is involved, and like I said, the recommendation that you take it to an authorized center. So because it says we recommend you take it to an authorized place, I'm assuming that means that they don't actually offer the service of converting your phone.
No, they
like
have
some of the other places do.
They have screen repair and back case repair. So if you just needed them to repair it with the white one that you got.
But I think because it's not on the, you know, Apple official list of repairs, because I'm pretty sure, you know, they want to stick in that realm.
Probably, yeah.
Well, so they aren't an authorized Apple repair center?
That I don't know.
Yes. If they are,
yes, they are.
Apple certified, and Apple probably would not like them doing that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Adam, you're totally right on assuming we're about to move on, because the formula, even though we've never actually laid it out for the show, is Michael introduces a topic, the two of you discuss the topic, I derail us, then we move to the next topic.
Right.
Cool.
There is one other bit that I wanted to mention, and that is that Apple...
You're breaking from the formula.
I know. It's going to screw up the entire show, but Apple removed the white iPhone 4 from the... online store, which is, I actually, you know, with the top sites and Safari, I know, Jeff, you don't use Safari, but the top sites deal, I have a 6 up, and one of them was that page, the store page, where just every day I would go there and see if there was a white iPhone 4, and it's actually been removed, so.
Well, that makes sense, because leaving it on the page is kind of like salt in the wound, don't you think?
Yeah, well, for sure.
It's a dodo. It's Apple's dodo. It's gone. It's never... to be seen.
Well, you guys kept telling me we would never see a white iPhone 4, so I should have listened to you from the beginning.
Yeah, I guess what we're talking about.
It's even more than a dodo. It's like a unicorn or a Pegasus. It's just mythical white thing.
I shall have it. I shall pay for a fake one.
People talked about only in legend.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be the coolest kid in school with my white iPhone. Moving on.
Sorry, I was going to say one more thing. You know, Krylon has that new series of paints. I don't know if it works on glass as well as plastic, but, you know, you could just... I could go ghetto and just spray
a little piece of masking tape over your camera.
The screen part, yeah, on the camera, and just go to town with a can.
Yeah, and that's only like $7. That's a lot cheaper than spending what is it, about $160 for the kit.
I could even go with like some whiteout too. Whiteout would work. Get rid of that.
I want to see that YouTube video.
Oh, white out.
I got a white iPhone. I used a white out.
Yep.
Time lapse.
Yeah, time lapse.
Here's how
out.
You can have a white iPhone too.
Be sure to tape over the screen part though, so you don't white out the screen. All right.
I'm just picturing someone spray painting the whole thing or doing white out over the whole thing.
And then forgetting that, and like, oh man.
Well, then breaking out Sharpies and drawing the icons back on.
Or drawing like a sad iPhone face
on it. Don't they have like, you know, people use those skin it stuff. You know, don't they have white versions of that with like a Apple logo and a silver Apple logo and white? And
or you could just get like a
you couldn't tell.
Big white sticker.
Exactly. Well, that's what I mean.
One of them, they even do the rainbow apple on the white back piece.
That's the one I want. I got the CA colors or colors.ca films for my white iBook G4. And that has a rainbow logo. You pop open the case and then you tape in. It's a transparency. So it actually glows. It's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool. So you have to actually like pop out the display so you can get to that masked out area.
Just the top. Well, it was easy on the again. It was two screws on the old white iBooks for the top case.
Oh, okay.
It just opened up and then the Apple logo was just a translucent piece of plastic. So you would just tape, you know, what amounts to like a film gel that was a rainbow film gel on the inside, and then button it back up. It was like the easiest hack in the world.
If only it was that easy for the iPhone.
Yeah. Well, the backplate is. I'm surprised people are not making more custom backplates.
I think it'll come. But
I saw one a day or two ago, and I might be completely wrong, because keep in mind, I have been on drugs.
Maybe you should mention why you've been on drugs. He hasn't just been on a bender. He's been sick.
Although I'm certain most people are assuming that I have
crazy
been.
Jeff.
Oh, that wacky Jeff found him in a box out on in the gutter again with three cans of spray paint.
Yeah.
No, I've just been really sick with whatever virus has been going around.
Yeah.
And it knocked me totally on my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you saw a custom thing, custom backplate.
Yeah, and it was a brushed metal.
Ooh, but that's not good for reception. Or I guess it doesn't matter because it's
it
in
wouldn't
the,
matter because
in the
front still. Oh yeah, the antennas are on the outside. Yep. I remember something about that. But this brushed metal back looked kind of cool, and it's just to pop the two screws out, take the back off, put the new metal back on, but it makes the iPhone thicker.
Yeah, I think we'll see more of that too. I'm with you, Michael.
Yeah. All right. So we have to move on to Apple releasing the Gold Master of iOS 4.2 to developers. So that includes. Did we talk? You guys talked about that. I think you talked about it last
week.
Yeah,
we did. But I'm laughing because I don't think we can call it that anymore.
Why is that?
Because they're not running out to press a CD or a DVD.
Well, no, I think that the term is still valid because this is supposedly the version that, you know, they're not going to make any more changes that developers would be affected
by. But back in the day when we actually bought our software on, you know, little plastic round thingies.
What are those?
Exactly. That's where that term comes from, right? Because there was this gold disc that was like the one that they would do the replication from.
Yeah.
And so when they burned the software to that, sent it out for distribution, that's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say, I heard some people back in the day referring to it as a glass master also, because they would actually etch into a glass disc the grooves and pits that make up the CD, and then the foil that goes between the plastic layers would get pressed from that.
Right. So I like release candidate. Well, better.
No, I think that's
GM
low.
Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's retro. It's like when you say, "Hey, roll down your window," and you reach over and push the button so it slides down.
But with the Mac App Store and the iOS App Store, we don't have little plastic round thingies anymore.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's cool. We can still use the term, but it makes me laugh because I'm picturing them like burning iOS 4 on. Like,
oh, you know, someone's got that just like hanging on a wall somewhere. Gold Master 4.2. But yeah, so of course, 4.2 is the version that we're all expecting to see, where the iPhone and the iPod Touch and the iPad all line up with the same version. So the iPad's finally going to get iOS 4 with multitasking and all that stuff. We get the AirPrint and the AirPlay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think the AirPlay is the thing that is exciting me most. I've actually been playing with 4.2 on my iPad for the last couple days. And it's still that switch on the side is now no longer a rotation lock, and it just drives me nuts.
Now, okay, so the completely screwed up switch now, because I refuse to refer to it as
the Apple Ring silent switch.
Yeah, the crap switch. It's now a crap switch.
Yeah.
From so what I understand, it only changes the or it shuts off audio except for alarms. Or is
that's
it
true
just
on
shuts
the iPhone.
Off alarms?
That's true on the iPhone.
Yeah, that's true
too.
On the iPhone as well.
Okay. So it's not even a true mute switch. It just mutes extra sounds.
Right. It does exactly what it does on the iPhone. Which is...
What a fracking waste of space on my iPad.
And not only that, but that means that when you have the volume rocker and you start pressing down, it does the mute thing after like two clicks still. That annoying thing where if you hold down, it just drops down all the way to mute.
All right, I'm pinning an email to Steve Jobs right now. Dear Steve, thanks for kicking me in the junk. Love, Jeff.
and Jeff, on the alarm things, though, we're not talking about alerts like notification alarms. We're talking about the actual alarm clock alarms.
Yeah, if there was an alarm clock on the iPad.
Right.
Which there is not.
Which there isn't.
So it mutes.
Wait. What are you referring to? Maybe I'm confused now. No.
All right. So now calendar maybe alerts. I need to set my chalk lock when I write that letter to Steve.
Right. So do notification alarms play through when that switch is on? Like your standard pop up? Okay.
I'm pretty sure they don't. Right. I think the behavior is exactly the same as the iPhone, except that I think it's also strange that, you know, you have the little volume icons. It's a little speaker when you, you know, go up and down with your rocker. But when you toggle the mute, it does a little line through the speaker icon, whereas on the iPhone, it does a line through the little bell, which would make more sense because that's what it's doing on the iPad. It's doing the exact same thing, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to double check right now. I'm going to play some R. Kelly here.
Well, I'm curious too. Is the iPhone going to get the same hold the volume button down and it goes to mute?
I sure hope not. That would
lameness.
I think that's just the worst. But I haven't tried it on my iPhone.
Better
yet.
Because if they're doing this for consistency, and they don't make the volume rocker on the iPhone do the quick drop, then I will shake my fist at you, Steve Jobs.
I'm going to give it a try on my iPhone 3GS at home tonight.
And we'll just do that on my Apple TV.
Yeah, there's no volume control on that. But okay, so anyway, we got to go back to the 4.2 and the changes that we've observed.
Well,
so cool thing, which is a welcome change, you know, with the multitasking bar, you double click the home button and it brings up all the apps that you've ever opened. And you swipe over and you get your iPod controls or whatever is playing audio in the background. You have that little icon there and you actually get a volume slider on the iPad, which is cool. So you get a little thing that you can slide, you know, up and down. But you also get a brightness controller, which is really handy because I think the iBooks application had that. I believe it was the only application that was allowed access to that type of control, but now you can control it from wherever you are. However, the, you know, the rotation lock thing is also in that spot and obviously not attached to the switch anymore, which again drives me nuts. But the brightness thing is handy. And
your AirPlay button.
Oh yeah, so there's an AirPlay button down there next to the play forward and rewind when you're on a network with an AirPlay device. Now, that only happens right now with the Apple TV 2, right? So possibly with the original Apple TV. I'm not sure. I don't have mine hooked up right now. But
I don't think so. But it does work with AirPort Express.
Okay, yeah. But here's the deal. It doesn't work right now, at least with the Apple TV. Does it work with the Express? Do you know?
It works with the Apple TV and the Express.
Not right now, though.
For audio.
In my experience.
Yeah, just for audio.
With this Goldmaster, it does not work. And I'm thinking that it's because...
Maybe your music sucks, Michael.
Probably. But I think we're just waiting on an update for the Apple TV too, right? Because it does not, like you said, doesn't work with video. So I'm guessing that's just, we're waiting for
all of the reports that I read said it works with audio.
Well, maybe I'll go back and try. I mean, it does show up, but when I press it, when I select it, it doesn't do anything. But that
Do you know how to reset your Apple TV?
Maybe. What do you mean?
Just how to do the hard reboot, hard reset it.
You mean pull the plug?
Well, that would work too. Because you can also hold down the, there's like, I think it's the menu and the down button on the remote for 10 seconds or whatever.
Apple you might TV try doing that. Reboot. Support.apple.com.
Reports that it gets stuck sometimes.
Yeah, menu and scroll down.
Because it should work. For everything that I read, it should work.
Yeah, I'll try it again. But video, regardless, video does not work right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that everybody said that too.
I think we're waiting for the update to the Apple TV 2. I'm hoping that we'll get video with 4.2 because that's what we've been promised, right?
Well, I think we need four things for everything to work correctly. Yep. Now, of course, we have to have iOS 4.2. We have to have an update for Apple TV. We have to have iTunes 10.1, and we need to have Mac OS 10.6.5 because that's what gives us the shared printing.
Right. So 10.6.5 only does the printing part of it. I don't think that would have anything to do with AirPlaying video to the Apple TV.
No,
I think we would need just the update to the Apple TV too.
Although it might contain, and well, it wouldn't be related, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some updates to QuickTime that happen too.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I suppose it's possible that 10.6.5 includes some special. No, that never mind. Never mind. I'll just stop right there so I don't sound stupid.
Do you think we'd be able to AirPlay something from our iPad to iTunes? Because I've been in situations where I was like watching something on my iPad and then I get into my room or something like that and my laptop's sitting there and I think, oh, it'd be great if I could just shoot that over there and see it there.
At the very least, it would be nice if they integrated over-the-air bookmarking like they have for the iBooks. So that,
oh, that would be nice.
Your iPad could just report to the copy of your same video on iTunes, your location, and then you could just play the local copy.
That'd be pretty
sweet. It would appear that, you know, it would in essence appear, so they wouldn't, you wouldn't have to do the streaming thing, I guess, which would save your bandwidth and playback would be better if they could just have over the air your iPad tell iTunes, hey, look, I was playing this video at this point, go ahead and launch that and play that on the. Right, that's the only message it would have to send.
Right, that'd be good. But I think it'd be even better if you could have access to other stuff. Just do the general AirPlay deal, because I think even in the Netflix app, I'm seeing the AirPlay icon, which I believe has been changed, and I don't like it. But that's beside the point. But the Netflix app does include the AirPlay icon. When I bring it up on my iPad, I can actually click on it, and it, of course, doesn't do anything because I'm having problems with my Apple TV. But that's good news for sure, that it seems like just about everything will have support for the AirPlay.
Yeah. So I guess it'd be cool, too, if you could just, you know, if you could do AirPlay to just your Mac.
Yeah.
And use the Mac just as a screen, right?
Yeah,
for things great. Like Netflix, if you don't want to pull up Netflix in your browser on your Mac, if you just shoot it from your iPad, that'd be
that cool. Actually makes sense.
Or even better.
Especially like if, say, you're a college student, you have a big...
Exactly.
What's the new iMac? The 76-inch?
The 27-inch. 76-inch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or even better, it'd be if you could... watch something, you're watching something on your 76-inch iMac and then you're thinking, oh, I've got to go downstairs and, heat up some ramen or something like that. So you grab your iPad and you click on the little AirPlay deal in iTunes and then it just shoots over to your iPad. I would enjoy that too. Just saying. If, Steve Jobs is listening.
It needs to go all directions.
I agree. Yeah.
AirPlay all the time, everywhere, every place.
I think
that's Apple's intention long term. It's got to be.
I think so too. And according to Mac Stories, they are reporting that from a source working close with AT&T. So with a grain of salt, we take this. macOS 10.6.5 and iTunes 10.1 will supposedly launch tomorrow. And of course, like Jeff said, 10.6.5 includes the AirPrint functionality that we'll. That is the other half to, just having 4.2 on your device. And I'm not really sure. They say that, 10.1, iTunes 10.1 is to support AirPlay, but that would only make sense if what we just talked about is actually going to be included. If we can AirPlay either from the iPad to iTunes or from iTunes to the iPad, right? Unless they're talking about AirPlay video to an Apple TV. In which case, that would solve my big problem with them not allowing you to access shared iTunes libraries, right? So you could have your friend come over, you could have Phil Schiller come over with his MacBook and say, hey, Steve, check out this episode of 30 Rock, as they did with their demo back with the Apple TV. And then they could just stream it from iTunes to the Apple TV. Does it seem like that's what they're going to do, or is there something I'm missing?
Don't know.
Okay.
I don't think you're missing anything.
I'm not sure.
That seems like something they're going to do.
Well, in addition to that, Mac Stories also hears that 4.2, iOS 4.2, will be released on Friday, which I think out of that little grouping seems like it would make the most sense because I got I'm in the developer program, or not really. I didn't sign anything. Let's say I got an email from somebody else. Let's go with that. I got an email forwarded from someone.
I think you should have just stuck with, I'm in the developer program.
Sure. We'll do that. Yeah. I'm in the developer program and someone, or I got, an email last week, I think saying, get ready to submit your 4.2 applications. And it also said, you can get 4.2 from the developer portal. And then today, I believe, I got another email from Apple saying, submit your applications now because we're about to release it to customers. And I'm guessing they're probably going to allow like a week's worth of time. So having it released on Friday makes a lot of sense because developers will probably get it in Monday, Tuesday, and then, a little extra time for checking out the apps and starting to push them out to the store. So I think Friday makes a lot of sense for 4.2.
Right, especially since they can do it like at the end of the day and then everyone goes home and then everyone around the world finds all the big problems that got missed and there's no one there to help.
Yeah. Everyone's gone home. So what do we want to talk? Do you want to talk about this Amazon and how they're now offering or they're planning to offer magazine and newspaper publishers the I'm not going to say the same 70-30 split, but it's a similar 70-30 revenue split. So these publishers can put their stuff in the Kindle store and, whatever is sold, the publishers get 70% and Amazon gets 30. Now, I think the difference here, the publishers get more money with this, right? Previous compared to Amazon's previous deal.
Yeah, this is a better deal for companies that are distributing content through Amazon than what they had before.
So, they get 70%. However, the 30% is not an operating cost type of thing as it's made out to be by Apple, with their 30%, you actually have to pay, it's a net 70, right? So whatever it costs to distribute this content, that's paid for, and then Amazon gets 30% of the net and you get 70. So it's a little bit different from what Apple's doing. You know, Apple claims that they're not making a profit.
Well, the big thing I see out of this is that it looks like it sets everything up so that magazine and newspaper publishers can set up their subscription services through iTunes just as they already have through Amazon, because now the values are the same. Because
right.
Previously, what you had with Amazon was a setup where to distribute content to the Kindle through them, you could not have a better deal from another company.
Ah, interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, so it does seem like this sort of opens up, for those publishers who've been a little bit concerned about not getting as much from Apple, they're probably going to be more willing to publish stuff on the App Store, right? As well as the Amazon store. And I think that with Kindle, anything that you can get through the Kindle program can be purchased through the Kindle app on your iPad or iPhone, right?
Well, part of the deal with Amazon's new sharing or 70-30 split thing is that to qualify for that, you have to make sure that your content is available to all Kindle compatible products. So it would be the Kindle and Kindle apps.
Ah, yeah.
And then it also includes any region that your content is allowed to be distributed in. So if you're a publisher and you're making your content available everywhere except Ireland for whatever reason, and you could otherwise include your content in Ireland, then you're not this program isn't available to you. So it's pretty open in the way that publishers have to take advantage of the setup. So they have to make sure that they're covering all their bases before they can take advantage of the new system, which makes sense because now they're going to be able to make sure that all their content's available to everyone it could possibly be available to.
Right. And in that way, you don't have to worry about having it on one device versus the other. If you have the app on there or you have a Kindle, then ta-da, there you go.
Right, there you go.
So let's see here. Oh, this one was interesting. Apple actually, well, this is a leak. Apple didn't publish this. Boy Genius Report got a hold of a screenshot of an internal AppleCare document which outlines how they decide to replace or whether to replace a display based on anomalous pixels, so stuck pixels or dead pixels, right? So it basically says, you know, if you have a 1-inch to 3.5-inch, and I guess the 1-inch would be the Nano, right? So 3.5-inch would be iPhone. So it just has a table of, you know, if the screen's bright, how many pixels are acceptable? If the screen's dark, how many pixels are acceptable? Combination of those, and how many pixels are required before it can be replaced. So, such as with the iPhone, there's a zero of acceptable number of anomalies. So, if you have a stuck pixel or a dead pixel on your iPhone, one or more, then you should be able to get it repaired or replaced.
What? Yeah, I don't know. This is a weird one because for a couple reasons for me. One, this information's kind of been around for a long time. I don't know, Jeff, if you've heard this before, but I've heard all of this before many, many times. So it's been leaked.
Back when I was consulting all the time, this is something I encountered on a regular basis when clients would contact me and say, oh my God, my screen is ruined. Apple won't do anything. What do I do? And I come out and look and I'm going, they won't do anything. Sorry.
Yeah. Because I remember, you know, stuck pixels for like a 15-inch laptop were about 3, which I think is what it's saying on here, bright 3.
Yep.
Sort of the rule of thumb. And so it's weird for that because I don't know that it's much new information. And then just the other thing is there's always the option at the store to get them replaced. But then the last thing is that, to be honest, with LCDs in the past, I don't know how many years, I have not heard of that many people having these kinds of issues. I have a lot of LCD screens around me right now, and I don't think I have because I have an iMac, my iMac, two iPads, 4 or 5 iPhones, my notebook, and I'm talking about all my iPhones that I've replaced, an iPod Touch, iPod Nanos. I can't think of a single one that has a dead, stuck, or bright pixel.
I've had stuck pixels on my iPhones, my previous ones. I'm not sure if it'd be possible to identify a stuck or dead pixel on the 3G or the iPhone 4, though, considering you can't see them. Yeah.
I think you'd need a loop to find that one.
Yeah, I think I might do that.
But you just don't hear about it that much anymore, I guess, is the thing. So it was interesting to me that this story kind of hit big today, because I don't have many friends, people I know in this day and age, and I don't know if it's just because of LCD technology or whatever, but it seems like this is less of an issue in this day and age than it was, say, 5 years ago.
You know, I see this as more of a problem with other displays than I see it with the products that Apple is using, or the components Apple is using in their products.
And believe me, I'm very critical. I think Apple's quality control lately is not been very good around a number of things on their products, specifically like video cards and NVIDIA issues. And I mean, they've had a lot of technical QA things, but the one thing I can say is I have not heard a lot about LCDs being an issue for Apple.
No, and you know, and honestly, the times in the past where I've seen issues with Apple displays, if it's more than one pixel, it's always been a swap out, no questions asked. And the whole thing with if it's more than one swap out, they won't do it. I've never seen that enforced either.
Yeah,
if we see a problem, we fix it, period.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it's been for me. And actually it's interesting that we've gotten into this. I guess I steered it in this direction, but it reminds me that my iPhone 4, the vibrate feature on it is incredibly weak.
Well, how many pixels does that use, Michael?
You're right. I would not get a replacement on that. but have you guys, you both have iPhone 4s, right?
Yes.
Have you noticed that it's weaker, the vibration is weaker, like to the point where if you have it on silent, you can almost never tell that you're getting an alert?
Well,
I've
going
always had
from
that problem.
From my first generation iPhone to a 3G to the iPhone 4, I haven't noticed any difference. If I'm wearing pants, which
is very rare.
Which is very rare. Excuse me. So, and they have a loose pocket, I'm not going to hear my iPhone ring no matter what version it is, and I'm not going to feel it vibrate no matter what version it is.
You know,
so I
always had that
bad test for that.
I'm the same as Jeff. I never really have noticed it, and sometimes even when the ringer's on and if it's in my pocket, I won't hear it either.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, for me, I generally wear jeans that aren't like baggy or anything. With my 3GS, I was always able to tell when I had a vibrate notification. With the iPhone 4, it's almost never. And actually, I have a friend who similarly does not wear baggy jeans and has had issues where I've texted him and just I haven't gotten any response back because he didn't feel it.
I'm laughing a little bit because I think Jeff and I are a little older than you, Michael, and frankly, for me, it's a non-issue because I really just don't want to be bothered. you'll get to this age where you just go, you know what, I really don't need to know every text that comes in and every alert from WeRule that pops up, and you know, but I think it's a generational thing.
It's a youth
like,
problem.
Oh, I got 5 texts, you know, when I go to dock my iPhone at night. Isn't that interesting? I'll get back to him tomorrow.
The only time it bothers me is when someone is sending me a message that's directly related to Mac Observer and it's very time sensitive. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't care. I mean, if someone sends me a message and it doesn't come through right away, or I don't respond right away because I didn't feel my phone vibrate.
But what if it's like an alert from Facebook from saying that girl you met at the party last night just accepted your friend request? I mean, that's important, right?
Okay, I have a spider sense.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And for the thing that Jeff was mentioning, Jeff, I mean, like real critical stuff, I just tell people, like, if it's really critical, you have my cell phone number because you just put it into the text. Call me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if someone calls me, there's a high likelihood that I'm going to realize my phone is ringing, especially because I have what most people consider to be a very obnoxious ringtone. I'm using the theme from Doctor Who.
Oh, I was going to say like Careless Whisper by Wham or something.
No.
Is that going to be – that should be your new one.
You know what? I'm going to go buy Careless Whisper, put it into a ringtone, and when you call me, that's what I'll hear.
Boom.
Very cool. what's the deal with the I'm going to go bring up the next topic because what I'm supposed to do in this thing. So what's the deal with the liquid – sensor, because I just saw this in passing and I hadn't had a chance to look into it.
Now, I think this is also really important, especially from coming from someone who dropped their iPhone into a toilet. not the iPhone 4, of course, the 3GS. So the idea here is, if you don't already know, Apple puts these little liquid contact indicators in the headphone jacks on the iPhones and iPod touches.
This I did know because if you hang out at the Genius Bar at all, and I have, because I've been in there, you know, getting things repaired, just watch when, and maybe this policy, it'll be interesting to see if after this information has come out, if it changes, but literally I was there one day and I was there for a while because they were doing some work on my system, some diagnostic work. So I was sitting there and four or five people came in with either iPhones or iPod touches that were having issues. And every single time, the very first thing that happened was the genius would reach under the counter, grab a pen light flashlight and look inside the ports, both the dock port and the headphone jack.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there was any question, they'd say, oh, it has water damage, and they'd slide it back, and that was it.
Yeah, so there's one in the dock port as well, and, you know, when I dropped mine in the toilet, the dock port was the only one that was actually triggered, and they didn't notice that, but that's not what we're talking about here. So when that is triggered, generally, like you just said, they just hand it back to you and say, sorry, there's nothing else we can do. So with this new policy... and this is, again, another internal Apple document that was found, I believe, by, again, Boy Genius Report. Now, if water damage is found in an iPod, it says specifically here iPods, but I'm guessing it will also apply to iPhones as well.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
And probably iPads and anything else.
Right. Anything that has the LCI. So if the liquid contact indicator shows red or whatever color it shows when water comes into contact with it, Apple will take a further step. And I'm guessing if you press them, if you say, no, for sure, I haven't, you know, there's no water damage. Maybe it was a case where, you know, I was on my phone in the rain and maybe just a drop fell down there. Cause I've always thought, you know, what would happen if something like that happened? Because
previously you would be screwed.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you could go months without that causing a problem, and it just so happened that it was tripped and you had another issue.
Yeah. The other thing is, there was a couple studies a few months back where they found that if you lived in certain climates, environments where you have extreme temperature changes. So, I mean, you're talking about Chicago in the winter or something like that, and you're going from outside to inside, just simple condensation was kind of shown that could sometimes
trip
the sensors.
I think I've seen instances with my iPhone where I'd get like condensation on the screen.
Yeah.
So I can definitely
holy
see
crap.
That. Yeah, holy crap, for sure. But so Apple will, in these cases where you press them, will actually take it apart and check to see if there's actual indications of water damage aside from the indicator.
Okay, do you mind if I get cranky for just a second?
Not at all.
All right. If you have to press Apple to actually look and see if you have serious water damage inside, what the frack is wrong with that? They should just do that by default. And,
yeah,
and the fact that they've had to change their policy.
No, I think it's a, I mean.
What the hell?
No. If you go in there and you're like, I don't know what happened. I was just updating my iPhone and suddenly it doesn't work anymore. And really you dropped it in the toilet, you know.
Okay, well, they'll know when they open up your iPhone.
Well, at that point, they'll say, no. If they say, like, oh, it seems like you tripped the water sensor. And I think 9 times out of 10, at that point, when they catch you, and, I mean, you know full well when you bring it in, you know, that you damaged it with water, you're going to be like, okay, fine. You know, you're not going to say, no, I'm for sure, I definitely didn't drop it in the toilet.
Okay, but what if it's your mom? And or my mom, who would go in with their iDevice and say, I don't know, it just stopped working. I was trying to do the one update that my son told me to, and now it doesn't work. And they look in the headphone jack and they go, oh, well, you have water damage. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And then our parents go, oh, okay. And they leave and they're sad. And then we get a call at home. And then we have to deal with the aftermath. What they should have done initially – before this policy change, is to look at it and go, oh, it looks like there might be some damage. Hold on. Let's do another check. And they look inside and go, oh, okay. Yeah, we can take care of this problem for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they go, dude, you dropped this in a toilet. I can totally tell.
Right. It's even simpler than that, though, Jeff, because I think that's what this change is about, and it should have been that way all along. And two things on this. One, the geniuses, and I've talked to a lot of people who have worked at the Genius Bar, and they say this is the case in almost every situation. The employees at the store always have ultimate discretion to do what they want. Apple has guidelines, and they say these are the policies, but they can make a determination depending upon specific situations and what customers are telling them and things like that. And you can usually tell when someone's trying to BS you too. The problem with the sensors
tell.
And yeah, the problem with the sensors in the past was, like I said, when I was sitting at the Genius Bar that day, it was pretty much that was what they were doing. They weren't using that discretion thing. They were pulling out the pen light, looking in. If it was water damage, that was like end of story. I think the change, and you're right, that shouldn't be like that. The change that's happening now is they can look in there, see those sensors tripped, and say, hey, it looks like you have water damage. What's the deal? Is it possible? You know, you could ask your mom, did anything happen? Can you think of a situation where you would have water? And she goes, no. And they go, okay, then we need to investigate further. And then at that point, they can take it apart. But you're going to have people, too, that are going to say, yeah, oh, yeah, I dropped it in a puddle the other day when I was out, you know, getting in the car. Right? So
sure.
just the fact that they're going to explore it further and not just 100% rely on the sensors, which I think they were kind of doing in the past. So
right,
hopefully
yeah.
This is a change for the better, where Apple's saying, don't just rely on the sensors. Let's, you know, use them as the first indicator, which is how they always should have been used from the very beginning.
Right. So shame on Apple for putting their Genius Bar people in a position where they had to look at just the one sensor and say,
right.
Nope, game over. They
right.
should have had it this way from the beginning. So I'm glad
exactly.
they fixed it, but boo on Apple for having it wrong in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, I don't think there's... Do we want to talk about the fact that Apple reportedly acquired Y-Gear, the guys who make eye muffs? The only comment I have on that is...
I'm laughing because eye muffs and I'm 12.
Exactly. That's why I was laughing too.
Well, the only comment I have
every time I've heard the name of that product, it just cracked me up.
Well,
sorry.
I'm thinking, why, if it has that in the name, would you want to connect wirelessly? I mean, you need full tactile connection for something like that. I should stop right now, huh?
Yeah, I guess. But the only issue I have with these with the iMuffs is I've used them and
see,
the problem is I'm not getting the joke, and maybe you guys need to whisper in my ear what the joke is. I don't know what.
Okay, see, that's incredibly funny to me as well.
Uh-huh. Because I'm 12 and I don't get it, and that's why I don't get it.
Yeah.
They could, let's put it, they could have just named them after a small furry aquatic animal with a big tail that makes
Oh, very well played, Adam.
Are you with us yet? Or
no, I'm not. I really am not.
Okay, we'll talk after.
Okay, we'll talk. Yeah, everybody else is laughing at me, so that's cool. But anyway, the problem I have with these headphones is that they only produce around the back of your head style headphones. And in my experience, those are dumb because they don't stay on your head. So I think it'd be really stupid if Apple actually acquired this company to use the design. You know, if they're using the Bluetooth technology of the headphones, that'd be cool. I would, you know, it might be nice to have headphones that Apple produced that are Bluetooth. I very much enjoy Bluetooth headphones. I use the Jaybird SB2 or SB1s, the sports band headphones, and those are wonderful. And actually with iOS 4.2, I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but they added the extra Bluetooth capability that allows you to skip back and forth with your tracks on your iPod right from the headphones. So, and that's what the iMuffs also feature, but yeah, so supposedly it says that Y-Gear has ceased operations and is no longer in business. We will be unable to respond to any inquiries, blah, blah. So I don't.
And it says according to 9 to 5. Right, Jeff?
What's that?
Yeah, I think Jeff had some good information that was on Mac Observer about this story, too.
Right. Okay, so in addition to the company not being in business anymore, and the anonymous sources that said it's because Apple bought them, if you go to LinkedIn and look at the profiles of the co-founders of the company, one of them is now listed as an iOS Bluetooth engineer for Apple.
Apple?
Yeah, for Apple. So that adds a little bit more credibility to the story.
Sure.
Now, to give you maybe a better perspective on why Apple may have bought the company, instead of thinking about this from the perspective of the iMuffs, you know, you can wrap it around your head and listen to the sound that way. Yes, I know the jokes write themselves, but I'm going to move on. Okay, so look at it from the technology that the company developed. They may or may not, depending on your perspective, have had a good implementation of getting the sound to your ears from a hardware perspective, but they had a good technology for actually getting the content from your iOS device to those headphones. And I think, assuming that this is legit, and I have a feeling it is, that's the reason why Apple would want the company, because they want the part that goes in between and they know how to get it into your ears well. They just needed a good way to get it to your ears, and instead of reinventing that wheel, they just bought it.
Well, I think in a lot of cases these days, these acquisitions we're finding more and more in Silicon Valley are more about not even the hardware, but the engineers and the talent and the people that figured out how to do this stuff, and how Apple can now take all those people, bring them into Apple, and then take the technologies further.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a lot of this stuff is just about people and talent and getting those people in working with the products, you know, directly.
Yep. I think you totally nailed it.
Yeah.
All right.
So how cool would it be if we had, you know, little tiny Bud style earphones that were Bluetooth and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, like the at some point my earbuds broke, and so I had to replace, like, one of the buds broke, and so I traded it out. I think I had two sets that had broken earbuds, so I just took them apart and replaced the buds on the one with another, and so I had just like little just earbuds without the cables. And I always thought, hey, it'd be really cool if it was just wireless like that.
Are you actually using Apple's own earbuds?
No, not anymore. I'm not crazy.
Okay, good.
I'm discerning now.
I was afraid we were going to have an intervention.
No, I use really crappy V-Moda in-ear earbuds.
Yeah, but they sound better than Apple's.
No, they are
right?
Definitely better than the Apple. And honestly, the V-Modas are pretty good. But, you know, that's beside the point. So,
cool.
I think with that, unless you guys, there's some other stuff there, but I'm kind of getting bored with the rest of that stuff. It's kind of filler. You ready to move on to iDevice picks?
Get rid of the fluff and stuff.
The fluff and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, we're done with that.
All right.
So, Adam, since we're pretty much the same age, do you remember HR Puff and Stuff?
I know what that is.
Yeah. Now, see, Michael, absolutely. You know about it because it's different now.
Because it's different?
Yeah, because back when Adam and I watched it, it was all these cool sea monsters and stuff doing their thing. When you watch it now, it's about the Puff and Stuff part, you know, which makes them like a hookah band or something.
I've only seen like one episode of that show, and it just...
Okay, now to be fair, there probably was a lot of hookah action involved in writing the stories.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, if you look at the dudes, I mean, he's got some serious, you know, bags under his eyes.
He's a band leader. He has a lot of work, okay?
Yeah, that's true. yeah, so iDevice picks?
Yeah, let's do some picks.
Jeff, you want to go first?
Sure. All right, so the funny thing, at least for me, because I've been on drugs for over a week, is that I was all ready to pick the same thing that I picked last
yeah.
week.
Yeah, which was, what was it again?
Which was
iController?
App control or something like that.
App switch? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it's called App Switch.
Yeah, anyway, so your new this week's pick is...
Yeah, so instead of App Switch, excuse me, I'm going to go with a PBS app. And yes, I know I've been incredibly lowbrow this entire episode, and I'm turning around and going highbrow on you. It's because I'm very complex. But yeah, the PBS app for the iPad is actually really cool because you can get access to a lot of awesome PBS content, including full episodes of the new Sherlock series. And I say new from a U.S. standpoint. It aired months ago in the U.K., and the Sherlock series is absolutely fantastic. So if for no other reason than just to watch Sherlock, go download the PBS app for the iPad, and it's free.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I need to stop playing with my pick while you're talking, but it's the PBS. It's just called PBS?
Yeah, I think it's just called PBS, and it's free.
Cool. PBS free. All right.
Yeah, and oh, Jeff, just somewhere related to that, and this was a new story. I don't know if you saw that, but there was a rumor or at least a story saying that the BBC has potentially authorized or got authorization to make BBC iPlayer available outside the UK.
Oh, that would be so wonderful.
Oh my God, you have no idea how happy I would be.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing with international licensing and blocking certain countries from certain content is a total load of crap.
Yeah, I saw that just before the show, so I haven't had a chance to look into it. But yeah, supposedly iPlayer may be being opened up.
Oh, that would be so awesome. You have no idea how happy I would be.
Me
too. Or maybe
too.
You do.
It yeah. would be cool. I would be happy too. There's a lot of great shows over on the BBC that I'd like to get access to.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy the Essential Mix. which it would be great.
Oh, yeah, the Essential Mix is awesome.
Yeah, but the only problem is there's a new one every week, and usually I'm like, oh, yeah, I need something to run to. Oh, yeah, the Essential Mix, except it's on the iPlayer, and then, the newest episode is on the iPlayer, and I'd have to go search for something and, find someone who's already ripped it and then download it, and usually it takes a long time because it's some lame download service, and then I have to import it in iTunes and then load it on my iPhone, and I'd much rather just click on the BBC app and, ta-da.
Isn't that just crap that you have to go through all those steps?
Yeah.
This is just another case of old-time media trying to impose their old-time ways on a new-time distribution system. And yes, I know I'm on my soapbox and I'm shaking my fist. All right, I'll get off my soapbox for now.
It's okay. I'm right up there with you. But Adam, what is your pick this week?
You know what? I have a couple. I'm going to save one for next week. But have we done Hipstamatic yet?
I don't think so.
Do you guys know Hipstamatic?
How do you spell it?
Hipstamic. It's a camera app.
Oh, or I need to try it out.
Yes, it's very cool.
Well, tell me more.
I found out about it because I had a friend come visit me, and he had it on his iPhone, but he just got a new BlackBerry, because service was not so great where he was, and he wanted Verizon. So, but it's got an interesting concept because it's like a camera, and it comes kind of preloaded with different kinds of film and a couple different flashes.
I think
and
I've seen this.
You snap pictures, and then it applies different kinds of film effects and borders depending on which film you have selected, and different lighting effects depending on what kind of flash you're using with it.
So this is lomography thing, right?
Yeah, and you can kind of mix and match different kinds of effects. So unlike some of the other tools, like I have other apps like Camera Bag or Camera Plus, some of these other ones that apply the effects sort of after, you take your picture and then you go into some sort of editor and then you start playing around with effects. In this case, it applies it as you take the photo or right after you take the photo. So there's a slight delay. You can't take photos quite as quickly, but it goes ahead and it applies the different effects. And then they have little packs in-app purchase-wise where you can buy additional effects. And so they're releasing different new effects and films and things like that. And that's one thing I wish it came with more kind of pre-built stuff, but I think I was just looking up the price. It's $1.99 for the base app, and I think you get like three different films and a couple different flashes and a couple different effects that you can put in, and then you mix and match. Lenses was the other thing. It has different lenses.
Yeah, it looks like you get three lenses, three films, and two flashes included.
Exactly,
and
then $1.99. And then you can buy more little packs for 99 cents. Yeah. And you can also order real prints. So one of the nice features, once you've taken the photos, well, a couple different things. One, it has the camera lens on the front. You can switch between high, medium, or low, medium, and high resolutions for the actual pictures. And they all get saved to your camera roll. So not just to the app, but also to the camera roll, the high-res versions. So you can sync those back and have them. You can also order prints through a service like Real Prints that they have. And the way you do that is there's a little stacks area. So when you have your pictures in the app, you can create little stacks like you would in iPhoto of photos and little sets. And then you can email those sets or you can order prints from those sets. So that was kind of another nice way to keep everything organized. And I really did like the fact that the photos, the high-res versions are saved out, because then when I dock my iPhone, they just sync over to I can sync them over to iPhoto and save them. I think it also has, I haven't played around with it, but I think there's also Flickr uploading,
yep,
if I'm not mistaken.
Flickr and Facebook.
Flickr and Facebook. And it's just, it's really neat. And then my favorite feature, actually, once you have a bunch of different types of film and lenses and stuff like that, is it has a shake to randomize. So
you
can take a picture, shake the phone, it'll randomize the lens, and you get all kinds of different effects. Because I always have a hard time with the other apps where you're applying them. Just I spend too much time, you know, messing around with it. So this way I get a random one and I get what I get, which I kind of like.
Cool.
So,
okay. I was just reading the description and it's based on the Hipstamatic camera. That's why it sounded familiar.
Ah, okay.
It suddenly became a lot cooler.
That makes sense.
See, I'm not a huge photography guy, so I don't know what it is. I just saw my friend was taking these really cool photos that had these cool effects, and I thought, oh, I want that app. And I've been playing around with it, and it's been a lot of fun just to take different little shots. And just I like the concept of getting what I get rather than, you know, taking a picture and then spending 20 minutes trying to figure out what kind of cool effect that I want to apply to it. So it kind of took that out of the mix for me, because I'm indecisive when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I like how targeted this thing is. It's directly targeted at hipsters. I can see on the
exactly.
It and says they, right
they
here,
just, and they just added just it's a UI element, but they just added different camera bodies that you can. So the latest update, you can now have a white. You can have a white Hipstamatic camera. So at least if Apple won't give you a white iPhone, you can have a white Hipstamatic camera.
Cool.
Okay. And for me, I see that as uncool because I believe the Hipstamatic was available only in black.
Yeah. So the only other thing I want to mention, because this frustrated me. So if you do get the app, the default setting of the viewfinder, I guess it works in the same way as the original Hipstamatic viewfinder, meaning that the little preview window, you don't see exactly what you're going to see. It's like a three-quarter framing. Well,
yeah, because the viewfinder was above the actual lens.
Right.
And it didn't have the full perspective that the lens would have.
So that is changeable in the settings, but you have to go to the settings on your iPhone to find the viewfinder mode, and you need to put it into precise framing rather, or precision framing rather than classic framing, if that frustrates you.
By the way, if you do that, you're losing some of your coolness.
I know, but I kept getting all these photos where heads were cut off and stuff like that, and I didn't like it. But I guess that's part of the chic hipness of the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, part of the coolness of that camera and other cameras that were available at that same time was that you had to learn what you were seeing versus what would be captured by film. And so there was this kind of Jedi instinct thing that went along with those kind of cameras. And it led to just some awesome photos and some horrendous photos at the same time. But that's part of what made the camera so cool, was that you had to learn the feel of the camera.
Yeah. And it has the cool, to enable the flash, you slide the little thing and then it flips back and it charges up, and then it's only on for that one picture, and then you have to flip it again and let the flash, you know, quote unquote, virtually charge up.
I'm really showing my inner nerd now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. It's called Hipstamatic. Yep.
And cheaper than the original Hipstamatic camera.
That is also a benefit. Okay, so my pick is a game, and I know I don't usually do games, so this one must be good, right? In fact, I've been playing it while you guys have been talking, so if it seemed like I was a little bit distracted, it's because I've been playing this wonderful game. It's called Super Mega Worm. And it's not like Snake. Initially, when my friend told me about it, I thought, oh, it must be a Snake kind of deal. It does have some elements of Snake, but the deal is you're this giant mega worm that starts off as an egg, and you hit the little A button to a few times and to hatch the egg. And once you're hatched underground, and you have a little D-pad controller. And you just basically worm around in underground, and whenever you want to, the goal is to you have to eat food, and because you're a super mega worm, your food is like people and cows and large like vehicles and birds and stuff. So basically, whatever you can violently pop out of the ground and eat with your giant worm jaws is what you get to eat. And so you level up. as you go, you know, eating cows and you know, policemen that are firing guns at you, or, you know, because you're a menace to society because you're eating everybody. And occasionally you'll see little word bubbles or speech bubbles that pop up next to the people saying, you know, no, don't kill me. I have, you know, I just bought a car or something like that. Some
my
silly things.
Speech bubble, moo.
Oh, so you're familiar with this game?
Yeah, well, I looked at it. I haven't bought it yet, but I looked at it.
Oh, yeah, moo is one of the very common ones because you're always eating cows, and they're just like, moo, you know, because what else is a cow going to say? So as you go, as you continue eating, you get larger and larger, as a worm does. And so as you get larger, you get powers, such as the ability to spit some poison worm spit at things, and I forget what that actually does because I haven't played it enough yet, but it's just, it's super fun. You also have this, the A button gives you gas while you're underground, so you can actually hold that down and you accelerate only while you're underground because, you know, you're a worm and you don't do well above ground. And I just hit a woman pushing a little stroller and the baby went flying, which is hilarious. And it's all in 8-bit, so it's really fun that way. And but yeah, as you grow, you have the ability to spit and also, you know, move quicker so you can leap up out of the ground and actually, you know, eat birds out of the air, which is fun. And it's just, I don't know why, it's just really entertaining for me to just, this just big worm just blasting out of the ground and just destroying things and eating people, and its jaws are even a little bit bloody, so that's fun. And it's universal. So I think it's 99 cents right now, so it's on sale. And so it works on both your iPhone and on your iPad, and it has Game Center integration. I'm not sure if that lets you sync levels. Does Game Center let you do stuff like that?
No, I think Game Center just shows how much time you're wasting.
Oh, okay, good.
Playing games.
I'm going to need to track
exactly
that
how
for,
you're doing compared to your friends.
For like tax purposes, you track the time, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just got it the other day, but, oh, man, it's really, really entertaining. And I don't play that many games, so you know it's good. So it's called Super Mega Worm, and right now it's 99 cents. I'm not sure how much it is when it's not on sale, but I believe that's a reduced price. So get it as soon as you hear this, and you'll have lots and lots of fun on both your iPhone and your iPad, or, you know, iPod Touch, too.
And if you use Super Mega Worm with your eye muffs, it's even more fun.
Adam, I think I just fell in love with you.
All right. So with that, you can check out the iPhone picks. A list of the picks that we talk about are listed on the website, as well as the show notes. If we talk about any particular story that you're interested in, you can click on the links to those and get more information on that. Wehavecommunicators.com is the website, and that's where you can find the show notes, as well as you can comment on any of the episodes. Just click on the episode and use the Discus commenting box. You can leave us comments, and I think all of us look at that, right? You guys look at those comments occasionally? Say yes.
Occasionally. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah, I definitely look at them. So if you want to leave a comment for, regarding a specific episode, that's the place to do it. If you have other feedback that you don't think that would work well there, feedback@wehavecommunicators.com is the email address. And you can actually send in audio comments that way. So record something on your iPhone or iPod. We might play it here if it's something that we think we should play on the or address on the show. There's also the phone number. So if you don't want to do the recording emailing deal, you can just call in with your iPhone. The number is 202-642-6667. And yeah, so Adam Christensen can be found at the MattCast, mattcast.com. And twitter.com/MattCast. And of course, the members, the paid superior premium, awesome version.
The premium version, yeah. We just did an episode with Ara Derderian from the HDTV podcast on Apple TV 2 and tools for doing encoding and optimizing your stuff work on the Apple TV 2, all the different tools that he uses. He's a genius when it comes to that kind of stuff.
That sounds
and
like I would want to check that out.
All the hip kids are already signed up. Yeah. So if you want to be hip, you have to go sign up.
Yep. member.maccast.com.
Yep.
And Jeff Gamet is the managing editor at the Mac Observer. Of course, macobserver.com and twitter.com/jgamet is his Twitter. And if you want to get some, you know, a little chicken on a coffee mug or really any of Jeff's drawings on something, panties, shirts, little baby singlets, all that stuff, cafepress.com/jgamet, as well as zazzle.com/jgamet. And I'm guessing you're still progressing slowly but surely on the mugs or the singular mug.
Actually, the mug should be done, except that it got sick.
And
wasn't able to really get anything done.
Well, that's
so
okay.
I apologize to everyone for that. And now that I'm pretending like I'm feeling better, I'll get that taken care of.
Awesome.
And also, speaking of being sick, I believe last week in my delirium, I may have referred to Tasmania as a country.
Yes. I think there was a comment regarding that on the website.
Yeah, actually, a couple people brought it up on Twitter, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I had no recollection of doing that. So that tells you a lot about my state of mind last week. Anyhow, so yes, I understand that Tasmania is not a country. It's actually a cartoon that attacks Bugs Bunny.
Yes, that's true. And my Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. That's the actual me Twitter. But I also do stuff. I do reviews on little 140 character bite-sized Twitter reviews on twitter.com/LilReviews, L-I-L reviews. And I actually have something in the queue for that. For people who don't particularly enjoy or who can't have milk, I think, Jeff, you're lactose intolerant, right?
Oh, very much so.
So I have a wonderful surprise for you on the little review, so check that out.
Oh, I'm all excited. I'm going to go look.
It's not up there yet, but, you know,
I'll be watching the show.
Okay, good. And with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An internet communicator.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck.
And a muff is a vagina.
Oh, Adam, if you're a girl, I'd kiss you right now.
Jeff will marry you now.